on the path of transition. We learn that certain truths are absolute. You must adhere to them. It's not enough to know them in your mind. You must have the conviction that enables you to pursue them in the face of opposition and to prove them to yourself. The truth, however, is not difficult when it is clear. It may seem deceptively simple, but it is still rather clear and easy to follow if you have a clear delineation of what is expected of you. And tonight I'd like to discuss one truth, and that is the omnipresence of spirit without opposite. Those words are carefully chosen. The omnipresence of spirit without opposite. Now that is a basic truth. It's going to turn out to be a rather central truth, one that you can focus upon. And if you find ways to uphold that truth, you will be extremely well rewarded. I'd like to divide that truth into seven parts and do them one at a time. They are also rather simple, but they must be understood in order to be simple. Now, the first truth I'm going to ask you to consider is omnipresence of spirit itself. What do we mean? Because it has no opposite, it means that there is nothing else in this universe than the omnipresent spirit. It means that your senses are going to lie to you. Your senses are going to decoy you into the belief that matter is here. Your senses are going to tempt you into thinking all kinds of things that have no relation to truth. And if you are to know the truth that makes you free, you must understand that spirit covers all that we call time and space and beyond, and exists everywhere on this planet, on other planets, in between all planets, on all constellations, in galaxies unknown, throughout infinity. That spirit is infinite, everywhere. Present, and that nothing else is present. Now that is a simple truth, and yet a difficult truth, because when you start to apply it, you'll find that your human mind is useless. There's nothing your human mind can do with that except violate it. And so it forces you, in order to apply that truth, to use your Christ mind. That's the purpose of it. You must use your Christ mind in order to prove the omnipresence of spirit without opposite. You must have that mind which was in Christ Jesus. Now we'll have seven rules. The first one is very simple. You're going to be tested daily. Right now, you're always tested. You're always tested to see if you are accepting the omnipresence of spirit without opposite. and you're usually failing the test because you don't know you're being tested. And so blithely we just stumble into the acceptance of a material world, and we lose our demonstration of the omnipresence of spirit. When you realize that the test is on, that earth is your initiation for this test, you become alert, and you begin to understand what it means to agree with your adversary while on the way with him. To instantly dismiss every temptation to believe that something else exists beside the omnipresence of spirit. And this becomes a training of your mind to step aside from what it sees, from what it experiences, and to let the Christ mind reinterpret the truth. Because only by knowing the truth can you be free. So let's take that into consciousness now. We are trying to develop that attitude of mind which says, my human mind has no capacity to cognize a spiritual universe. It is busy about its own thing. It is busy fulfilling itself. It is busy acquiring. It is busy thinking. It is busy doing human things. And so I've got to break through that habit and identify the world around me, not for what I see with my senses. I've got to be alert to the fact that hidden behind the sense images that I see is the Spirit of God. The omnipresence of spirit has no opposite, and I, learning to identify that omnipresent spirit everywhere, must use my Christ mind. And so my human mind must be still. I become a beholder, a divine witness. I can't run out and begin to heal the conditions of the world because I cannot acknowledge their presence. We're into a completely new way of life. And this is only the first principle of learning how to use your Christ mind, or rather to let it use you. Now, every time you react to a problem, you have failed the test. Every time you see a material condition, you have failed the test. And because you fail the test, you are postponing your transition, inviting your eventual reincarnation. And because that is not what we are aiming for, we now become very conscious of our thoughts. We're not interested in our human thoughts as much as we were before, because our human thoughts are going to construct sense images. What we want are soul images. We can't get them with our human mind. And so we develop that inner capacity to meditate with our eyes open. The things we look at do not entice us into reaction, into participation. We look without judgment. We see neither good nor evil. We simply look. We behold. We make no interpretation. This is a way of life that is normal to many people now. to look at the world around them and to know that if I make a judgment, I will be in a graven image. I will engrave an image on my mind. Now, you're not going to do this 24 hours a day, but you develop the habit of periods of time when you are able to view the world around you with that mind which is non-judgmental. And that develops into a Christ mind capacity. You find you're able to look at activities that had roused your ire at one time, and for some reason or other, something in you is more restrained. You can even look at more serious problems. You can look at the drug problem. You can look at the AIDS problem. You can look at various types of crime. And realize that I am being tested to know or not to know that spirit is the only identity on this earth. You can walk through a hospital ward . You can see suffering. You can walk through a maternal ward. You can walk through many conditions non-reactive to them because you are making that effort to establish the knowledge that what you are seeing is not what is there. The law is that only spirit is omnipresent, without opposite. You are making a change of consciousness. You are walking a very narrow path. Many people will not find this something they want to do. But the few who do decide this is what I must do will make progress. And it will not be long before they discover they have this capacity to see a spiritual universe where the world sees a material universe. Without even opening the spiritual eye, they will have the feel for it. And that world that they acknowledge in spirit will acknowledge them in a way they had not anticipated. It will become a friendly spiritual universe. It will become a harmonious one. It will be less of an unexpected activity of things that they find in the world of matter around them. It will be more peaceful. It will be closer to the divine creation. It will find that people are more loving toward them. They will find that their ailments begin to diminish and to become less intense. They will finally feel that there is a force at work in and through them. Perhaps not identifiable at first, but a force, a living force. And they will discover that the force at work in them has always been there, obscured by their reactions of sense mind. This force, this spiritual awareness, which becomes a living force, is all the encouragement anyone needs to continue along this line of activity. Somehow the cold goes away. The cough doesn't wake you up at night. The heart doesn't murmur. And you haven't done too much yet. All you've done is to curb the human instinct of the mind to pounce on everything within scope of it and to judge it. This is good and that is evil. This is bad and that is not bad. This I must retaliate to. A new you is being born very quickly. A very welcome new you. A you that begins to feel its own power. And this test will continue for a while as a daily activity, always to keep you attuned to the invisible spiritual universe. And perhaps within a week, a month, you find you are quite capable of holding your reactions in check to some extent, and you are becoming aware of a new kind of harmony, spiritual harmony. You are beginning to feel something in you that you hadn't felt before. Perhaps a love of your fellow man. Perhaps an understanding of your fellow man. A tolerance you didn't know you were capable of. A curiosity about people you were never curious about. Because spirit, when acknowledged, must acknowledge you, and then the qualities of spirit become active within you. And what those qualities are, you will discover for yourself. You will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Now let's get into the habit of identifying the world around us spiritually with our Christ mind. You won't say, now my Christ mind will identify this, but you will identify something spiritually and it will be your Christ mind doing it. And so you will bring into play that mind, which someday you will see is a magic button. That mind which can do things that no other mind can do. That mind which has a power undreamed of. That mind which says, I am the resurrection and the life. If you believe on me, you will have everlasting life. your awakening to that mind. Now, of course, many of you have awakened to that mind already. Now we wish to accelerate, intensify. Become consciously aware that when my Christ mind is not active, I am in the state of hypnotism, which is the natural habitation of the human mind. There is no such thing as a human mind that is not hypnotized. That's rule number one, to bring your Christ mind into play actively in your daily life. And you're going to make it a 10 or 15 minute exercise, and then you're going to say, well, that's not enough. I won't be happy till my Christ mind is the only mind I have. Because my Christ mind does not acknowledge imperfection. And if I acknowledge any form of imperfection, I'm not in my Christ mind. My Christ mind does not acknowledge death. My Christ mind does not acknowledge sickness. And when I acknowledge these human traits, I am not in that mind which was in Christ Jesus. Catch yourself. When you find even that you have made an error, catch yourself. Don't be afraid to stop. Say, wait a minute. What am I doing? I've let the tempter lead me into a false label. I'm seeing what God did not create, and I'm reacting to it. I'm violating the truth that the Spirit of God is omnipresent without opposite. Catch yourself and stop yourself. And remember, you will continue to be tested until one day you are perfect as your Father. Now in the quiet of meditation, try to give yourself a more wider understanding of what it means to not be tempted by your environment to make labels about conditions, about good and about evil. Try to set up some kind of an inner awareness so that you're alert, ready for the tempter, that you can instantly dismiss the appearance of a condition and say, no, that's a sense image. I am unemployed. Wait a minute. Spirit unemployed. You see how easy it is to be tricked? I have no food. I lack. Spirit has no food. Spirit lacks. I hurt. Spirit hurts. You see the point? These are the temptations that exist all around you. And in your enlightened state of consciousness, for every temptation, for every condition, you substitute. With your Christ mind, you substitute. Only omnipresent spirit is here. And the power of that truth will quickly communicate to you that you have touched a truth. You have hit a chord, and it will make new music for you. You will discover now, on rule two, that your physical senses are going to lie about the presence of spirit. You have five physical senses, and not one of them can report the truth. They are not aware of the omnipresent spirit. You can look out at a spiritual universe with your eye, and you have no awareness that spirit is present. You can hear a symphony. You have no awareness that spirit is present. You can touch the most silken velvet there is, but it won't tell you that spirit is there. Your physical senses will conspire to keep the spiritual universe from your awareness. If you permit them to identify your universe, you remain in a material universe. The problem seems immense. But if a close friend is sick, you want to solve that problem, don't you? If a child is sick, you want to solve that problem. If you know of a physical problem, you want to get to the bottom of the truth of it. You don't want to stop with your physical identification. because then you're isolated in a material world. Up to now, using the human mind, that's where we have remained. We try to use our intellect. We try to use reason. We try to think our way out of a problem. And we use only those faculties that we know about. We do not use our spiritual consciousness. Now we have a new weapon. This so-called victim. Can be helped another way. The invisible, omnipresent spirit is the substance of that victim. If you haven't tried it, you have no idea what difference that makes. And when you learn how to do it, how to try it, how to apply this knowledge, and see the difference that it makes, you realize that we have weapons unknown which can release the world from many of its conditions without bloodshed, without surgery, without laying on the hands, without even seeing the patient. Spiritual consciousness works invisibly. And you have to develop that. Your Christ mind, which does not see with human eyes or feel with human hands or hear with human ears. Is the instrument of God in your midst, used very rarely by most people. And yet, the miracles of Christ were all spiritual consciousness in action. It begins then with the identification of spirit as the substance of everything you are looking at. Until that identification in you deepens into something that can't be described, because ultimately, you will identify yourself as that spirit. And the self of you as that spirit, becoming aware of the self of another as that spirit, will amplify your consciousness of the spiritual nature of all that you're looking at. And then the force functioning through you will be pure. Yeah. Let us now identify ourselves as that omnipresent spirit. Without opposite. Does it trouble you to know that you are the Spirit of God? Does it elate you? What does your reaction, what shape does your reaction take? To know that you are, you must be, the Spirit of God. Do you rejoice? Do you feel as if you had just been born? Do you accept it? These are all important questions. Suppose you learn that you're the Spirit of God, and at the same time you find that you're under some form of physical disability. What does that mean to you? Is it something you had previously considered, or is it new to you? If you had never considered it, do so now. And learn what that means, that you are not disabled, but your belief is disabled. Spirit can never be disabled. That's your first step. I know it's hard to see. I know it's hard to feel. And perhaps you're thinking, well, wait a minute now. I mean, I can't jump that fast. But you've got to. You've got to see that spirit is always perfect as the Father. That's your head start on truth. 50% of the people in the world have some kind of an ailment all the time. But they're not aware that they are spirit. What about us? What ailments do we have if we are spirit? The ailments we have are the belief that we are not the spirit. We're saying, I am not the spirit. We're not saying, I am the spirit, but I have an ailment. We're not accepting. And when we accept, we know that that so-called ailment is a world mind belief still lodging in our consciousness. And the more we realize the truth of our true being, the more we realize that the ailment is bound to go. It cannot live in the truth. It can only live in the lie. We find that many of the things we suffered from as children were this lack of spiritual knowledge. We were living as physical beings in a spiritual universe. And of course we suffered. How can Christ live in a physical universe? We were a fish out of water. Somewhere in this room, there is an individual who is able to stand on that truth in such a way that they know they can conquer the illusion that they are physical beings. and that spirit being perfect, that must manifest as their being. And I suspect there's more than one who can accept that. We are denying the validity of the physical senses, which deny the reality of omnipresent spirit without opposite. And we will continue to make that denial as long as we are on the face of this earth in a physical form, because it is true. That is your second principle. Do not let your physical senses deny, by the graven images they form in your brain, that there is another substance in God's universe than the Spirit, which is perfect as the Father. Don't worry if it manifests tomorrow or the next day. Just hold to the truth and believe that the truth will make you free. There are no exceptions. The truth will make you free. Perhaps not in the way you expect, but your freedom will come in a way you do not expect. It will be an immense freedom. It will be an absence of limitation, an ability to accomplish something you didn't know you could accomplish. Because the truth is not localized. The truth doesn't exist only in this room or only in your awareness. Once you know the truth, you are out in the infinite. And everything in the infinite pertaining to the truth you know will function in your life. You will find that the way to grace is through truth, spiritual truth. That all your needs were fulfilled before you ever appeared on this planet. And that in spiritual truth, you will release those needs to manifest where you are in ways unknown to man.